With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. A lot of you guys weighing in on all the NBA news that I discussed in the first hour of the show. LifeWave98 tweets in at Robin Lundberg. I agree 100%. Boogie is coming off an Achilles injury. Who knows how that's going to work out? He won't be available for a while. And what will he have left? A tremendous overreaction. I agree. You agree with me, so of course I agree. The Boogie Cousins signing, one of the greatest overreactions I've ever seen. There is no way to know if dude will play well at all, how much he'll play, and there's even a slight chance he hurts them. So, like, the idea that all of a sudden the Warriors became more unbeatable, it doesn't make any sense to me. I already thought they were unbeatable.
And also the idea that it's, like, unwatchable now, the NBA, I mean, the ratings just don't show that. I mean, yeah, the ratings were once again through the roof.
I've said before Kevin Durant ruined the NBA, it's not backed up by the receipts. The receipts say the NBA is getting more popular every single year. 855-212-4227. By the way, I'm talking about it, right? Like, I mean, I would talk about it anyway. It's my personal favorite league in sport. But everyone is talking about it. That's a better way to put it. Steve Rossea tweets in, Kawhi flexing his muscles and will end up being traded to Philly before signing with LA as a free agent. Matt Kaika, LA is a Kawhi acquisition from competing for a championship. I don't think I would trade much for Kawhi, if anything at all now. And I was totally the other way about a week ago. It was all good just a week ago. There's too much going on with Kawhi now. Like, my spider sense has started tingling. Andre underscore CA7. Gotta admit that Carmelo Big 3 joke got me. Clayton Honaker. I don't think Hall of Fame when thinking of Carmelo. He's going to the Hall of Fame. It doesn't really matter if we think Hall of Fame. But, you know, at this point, I don't think winning player when I think Carmelo. And he might have to try to do something to change that narrative. According to Basketball References, Hall of Fame probability is 98.2%, by the way. So he's going to the Hall of Fame. But I don't know if there's a great fit for Melo. He needs to try and resurrect his career narrative a la the way Rajon Rondo did, to be honest. So that's everything I've talked about so far. Kawhi Leonard, I don't think I'd trade for him now. At least not much. Carmelo Anthony, it's hard to find a great fit for him. I don't think it's LA. And Boogie Cousins, one of the great overreactions I've ever seen. 855-212-4227. Now it's time to get to LeBron, of course. LeBron does us all a favor, signs with the Lakers Sunday night so we could all react on Monday, enjoy our holiday, right? Like, the timing worked out pretty well. And of course, there's been so many offshoot discussions when it comes to LeBron's move to LA. Everything I just discussed is sort of in that orbit, right? Does the Cousins move to Golden State render it obsolete? Is Kawhi the big piece the Lakers should be trading for to help LeBron? Could Carmelo Anthony be a fit in LA next to LeBron? All those things lead to other discussions around it. And that's the power of LeBron. I mean, it's been said before, but the idea of just how much we were all focused on where he would play tells you all you need to know. Like, everybody realizes this guy's power, this guy's standing. And then everybody's going to analyze his move. Now, he did it quietly this time. You know, when he went to Miami, he did a heel turn and turned into the villain. And I don't think it was the decision. I think everybody overreacts to the decision, just like the Cousins thing. I mean, here's the thing about the decision. Did you hear anyone tell you it was a bad idea until he said he was going to Miami? until he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I heard not a single person say that. They're all like, oh, I'm tuning in. And then he didn't say what they wanted him to say, so they got mad. I think it was more the press pep rally thing that they did that was a worse idea. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not. I think that's what rubbed people actually more the wrong way in the long term. And really, that was a good case study for the explosion of social media. Because there was a time you could do that, and not everyone would see that. And that was right around the time where it first started. You couldn't do anything in public if you were a famous person without everyone on the planet seeing it. And that obviously was a big deal, made Miami a compelling story, I think was ultimately very good for the NBA. Then he goes back to Cleveland. He puts out the letter, I love Cleveland, it's my home and all that. I'm coming to bring a championship. And I don't remember everything he said in that SI piece, but the big part he delivered on. He won a championship for Cleveland. I think it's always going to hurt. I understand that if you're a Cavs fan for him to go, but I think he and Cavs fans should be on good terms forever now. Now he goes to LA, and it's simply put out by his agency. He signed a 4-year, $154 million deal with the Lakers, and we've been piecing together everything since then. What exactly does it mean? Did he go there because he thinks it's his best chance for a championship, or did he go there because it's the lifestyle deal? And he's towards the end of his career. He likes living in L.A. His family's in L.A. Hollywood. Business is in L.A. He can expand his entertainment entrepreneurial footprint. Is it about that? Is it just like, hey, this is a good place to end my career? And I think there's a lot to it. Ultimately, I would say this decision this time around to go to L.A. and where LeBron's at and all the ramifications, ultimately, I think show you just somebody who's kind of at peace with where they are. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to compete for a championship, but I think he understands, rightfully so, his legacy is set. You know, once you're in the, once the conversation is, it's you or Michael Jordan, you know, you're in a good space. It's either him or it's Michael Jordan. So he's in a good space with the career and his basketball legacy. So he doesn't have to be desperately chasing a title. I'm sure he wants to win a title, but it seems to me this is just kind of what he wanted to do for a number of reasons. It wasn't like one thing that was the destination that checked the most boxes. Family, off-court interests, lifestyle, and flexibility with the roster. Because here's the thing about the roster, and I'm going to get to their moves in a second, but just like the second he got there, that team has more talent than the team he left immediately upon arrival. More talent. Because if you're choosing up between the rest of the Cavs and the rest of the Lakers, I'm going to pick a handful of Lakers and maybe one Cav in that mix. And then there's the moves that they've made since, which had everybody kind of laughing a little bit, being Stevenson, McGee, Rondo. I actually understand the rationale behind those moves a little bit. If they're like relying on those guys as huge pieces, that's a little bit problematic because of the lack of shooting and some of the other stuff. But if you're talking about in carved out roles, some of the thought behind it, I think, is more playmakers around LeBron. And I believe he is going to try and change his play style a little bit, play off the ball more, play as a screener, as a post-up guy, as a cutter, in addition to on the ball. So they wanted to bring in other guys who could handle it or who could playmake around him. You know, I read that while the surrounding LeBron with shooters lineup always works, there was a concern there were too many specialists in Cleveland who didn't do other things, and defensively that team suffered. I really like the Lakers' potential defensively. I think they have potential to be elite defensively. But like guys like Rondo, LeBron was saying we need smart players to compete against Golden State back in Cleveland. Whatever you want to say about Rondo otherwise, one thing he is smart. So there's that. And then a guy like Lance Stephenson is enigmatic, inconsistent, but he's darn sure competitive. So it's a couple of guys that I think from LeBron's point of view, they're not fun to play against. So it doesn't really hurt to have them on your team if they're utilized correctly. So I think, again, that was a little bit of an overreaction. It's like, oh my God, how could they do this? They get LeBron and then they bring in these guys. Like JaVale McGee, by the way, just started for the Warriors in the finals. And I don't expect them to play a big role. They don't really have a center on the team. I don't know if they're going to try and bring back Brook Lopez to specifically compete with Boogie Cousins. But all of that stuff ignores the youth on that team. I mean, they still have Brandon Ingram. They still have Lonzo Ball. They still have Kyle Kuzma. They still have Josh Hart. Josh Hart, I like as a 3-and-D kind of prospect. You know, they drafted Mo Wagner, who could maybe play stretch five at times. And then Kuzma is a great bench piece and can bring some shooting. And then the other two guys are the guys with a lot of potential. Like Lonzo Ball, he has to work on his finishing, and he certainly has to get better as a spot-up shooter. And ultimately, that will determine his career success along with everything that goes on with his dad. But there are things Lonzo Ball does really well right now. You know, Lonzo Ball grades out potentially, I think, as maybe the best defender at his position. He also rebounds. He gets the ball out in transition. He can handle the ball. He sees the floor. If he can spot up shoot, I think he's a tremendous fit with LeBron. And then Brandon Ingram is the one who really has the potential as like the secondary piece or the part of, you know, part of a big three, if you will, piece. And then they have the flexibility to either sign a max contract guy or trade right now for Kawhi Leonard, let's say, or we've heard Damian Lillard, who could provide, you know, another scorer that they might need. You know, but there's moves to be made from a basketball standpoint. And I like Luke Walton. You know, Luke Walton coached that 73-win Warriors team for the vast majority of that year. I think he understands modern basketball. I think he'll play small a lot. I think you'll see LeBron at center a lot. LeBron at power forward most of the time. So I think there's a lot of roster potential. And remember, LeBron's a walking 50-win team. The second he walks in the door, they won 35 games last year, pencil in 50. They're a top four seed in the West, I would say, just on LeBron's presence with the rest of that team. Now, there's the chance, and I'll fully admit this as one of, you know, LeBron's biggest advocates, however you want to put it. There's a chance this could go the wrong way. We've seen all-time greats in uniforms where it doesn't exactly go well. Everybody knows Jordan and the Wizards is an example, but Akeem Olajuwon later in his career, he played for the Raptors. You have Shaq, you know, with the Suns, Cavs, and Celtics. So there, we could see LeBron fall off a cliff. And we think of him in a Lakers jersey as the washed aspect of his career. But this guy deserves the benefit of the doubt more than anyone else ever to suit up the, you know, in a uniform and lace up sneakers, because he's coming off of last year, just last year. If you combine regular season and playoffs, arguably the best season anyone's ever had, right? Like right in that mix. He basically had the best playoffs anyone's ever had and his best offensive regular season. So until proven otherwise, that's LeBron James. And then you have the roster potential around him. So I think with a week to process it and seeing all the rest of the moves, LA simply checked the most boxes. LeBron James is comfortable in his own skin now, satisfied with his basketball legacy, can't really be harmed there. So this made the most sense for him personally, made the most sense for his family, made the most sense for his off-court pursuits, and made sense on the court as well when you're weighing all the options. with about a week to process it, with all the other moves we've seen happen, where are you on why and how LeBron James to the Lakers will work out and did work out? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to remind you tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, tune in to CBS Sports Network for the final game of the Major League Rugby season as the last teams remaining battle it out for the first ever championship title on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Did anyone see the picture LeBron posted on his Instagram? It's like, it's kind of like Thanos at the end of Infinity War, you know, at peace and accomplished that he's, you know, taken out half the universe with his finger snap, spoiler alert. But LeBron is just like sort of sitting there in some exotic place overlooking the horizon with his back to you, wearing a Christian Pulisic jersey. And it sort of sums up what I was saying before. I think you have somebody who's just kind of at peace with where he's at and made the decision that he is most happy with individually rather than like chasing something. So it's not like, all right, I got to chase a championship, or all right, I got to chase this specific endeavor, or all right, I got to make things good with Cleveland, or all right, I got to, you know, like, it's just like, this is what I want to do. Let the chips fall where they may. The question is it going to work? Will LeBron James, the Los Angeles Laker, work out? Yes or no? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227.
I was going to ask you, how long do you think this is going to last? Because I feel like LeBron is at peace. He's relaxed right now. Like, I wonder how long is it going to last? How long before, like, he becomes maybe impatient with the Lakers, or he gets frustrated with maybe a Rondo, or I wonder how long this is going to last.
It'll be interesting. Like, again, when we're talking about the NBA and what the Warriors have done and all that, it's just such another, it's a storyline, right? And he seems to be patient, which factors into my theory here, where he's not demanding they go get somebody else right now, right? It doesn't have to be Kawhi Leonard at this second from all accounts. And he's willing to cultivate the guys on the roster. I think they have a lot of potential on that roster, too. And when you plug him in, if he's still playing at the level he was just last year, then you're good money. And there's a chance it doesn't work out. It blows up spectacularly. You get a situation like what happened in the middle of Cleveland last year, and we view LeBron in a Lakers jersey the way we do other greats at the end of their career in a different uniform. But then it could work out. And what does work out mean? I mean, I guess in L.A. from a Lakers point of view, you know, I joke because I think LeBron's the best player ever. You know, I was joking as soon as he signed. Imagine all the Lakers history. And then imagine the second you're LeBron James putting on the jersey being the best player who's ever worn the uniform. Like, you know, I joked about that. But he's not a great Laker yet. Duh. He hasn't played a game for the Lakers. I was talking to Shaq yesterday. And I asked Shaq specifically, when you're dealing with yourself and Kobe and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West and Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, can LeBron get on that list of all-time great Lakers? And his response is what you expect if he has to win a championship. He didn't say more than one. He said a championship in LA. But of course, that's going to be part of the expectation when you're dealing with the lore of Lakers history. Like, I don't think LeBron, for his own personal career, needs to do that. But for his Lakers career, he would need to do that. If he wants to be, you know, if being an all-time great Laker is of importance to him. But again, I think right now, you're looking at a guy who's at peace and who chose the situation that checked the most boxes for him. And from the basketball standpoint, it wasn't about chasing a championship, but it wasn't shying away. It's obviously not, you know, it's not like he went to a situation where there's going to be no pressure or no expectations. He's in L.A.
And there wasn't a perfect fit for LeBron.
No, there wasn't. Again, you have to, you know, like, sometimes you make decisions and you don't have...
There wasn't a team that he could go to where you automatically said they're going to win the championship.
And if that was there, then it would be obvious, right? Otherwise, we're all discussing how it might wind up. And I feel him on this one. I understand The only thing I'm mad about really is the 10:30 Eastern start times here on the East Coast. If you're on the West Coast, congratulations. You know, I might have to make my way out there at some point. I love the sports times, not just for LeBron. I'm moving to L.A. because LeBron's in L.A. But the sports start times are amazing out there. I was in Vegas for a week once, and my wife was working for a company that was out there. And I just remember I was there on vacation while she was working all day. So I would get up, and I'd go down to the sports book. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have my coffee, you know, place a couple bets, hit the gym, hit the pool, and then the games are starting right after that. That was amazing.
I know. I was in Vegas for the first time back in November. It was great because usually, you know, like the 4 o'clock games here are over like at 7 Eastern time. They were done like, you know, around 4 o'clock there, and you have the whole rest of the day still. It was great.
And we'll see if it's going to be great for LeBron James in L.A. Will LeBron James, the Los Angeles Laker, work out or not? Yes or no?
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
All right, Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Talked about Boogie Cousins, massive overreaction. Talked about Kawhi Leonard, not sure I would trade for him at this point. My spider sense is tingling. Talked about Carmelo Anthony, I don't know where he fits. And talked about LeBron James to the Lakers, about a week to absorb it, all the other moves, everything that's happened in its orbit. The question right now is, will LeBron James, the Los Angeles Laker, work out, yes or no? 855-212-4227. Drew Craven tweets in, I won't call. I've got morning voice. Just woke up. However, the Lakers will perform well in year one. There will also be a much bigger wagon of new fans suddenly packing the Staples Center. Well, yeah, LeBron fans are coming. You know, like in the NBA, people root for players and some people root for teams. So you'll have a bunch of people, you know, joining the bandwagon. I always see the jokes on Twitter, you know, like, I can't tell you how much it meant to me as a Lakers fan since July 2018 that LeBron James has signed with the team. Paul Carlso says the king with a talented young supporting cast is going to be unstoppable. What say you? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Will LeBron with the Lakers work out, yes or no? Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. That's 855-212-4227. Dan in Birmingham, Alabama. Dan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How are you, Robin?
Good, man. How are you?
How are you? First of all, I wanted to just give a little shout-out to you. This is the second weekend in a row that I've got to speak with you. I only get to hear you on Saturdays, and I'm actually, this is the first off day I've had in about 2 months, and I actually set my alarm to get up and listen to you because I love the way you do your job. You can tell that you have a great passion for it, and I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate that as a radio listener to be able to hear someone that loves their job that much and is so, I mean, you're opinionated, but you stick to your guns no matter what, and I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate your radio show. But I wanted to talk a little bit about LeBron.
Dan,
I just had to get that out of the way. you know, I mean, you have let me, you know, talk to you two weekends in a row, and I hate that it's so early in the morning, but, you know, hey, got to take it when you get it, right? But anyway, with LeBron, I believe, I mean, the way he's already a Laker. I mean, everybody in Los Angeles has already embraced LeBron as a Laker, I feel. As far as him, you know, as LeBron goes, you know, so the team goes. I mean, LeBron is basically half the team anywhere that he goes. And, you know, I mean, he's played for so many teams. And, you know, like you said, that he's, you know, he's happy with his decision. Well, I mean, he has no choice. I mean, he's already made it. He's already made his decision. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows what's best for his family. So, you know, but I think it's kind of on the premise that it's, like kind of Field of Dreamish. If LeBron came, if you get LeBron, they will come. I really see these players wanting, you know, once you're on a team with LeBron, it's LeBron and everyone else. I see these players wanting to be individuals, you know, wanting to go to teams and be a LeBron, be a prime time player instead of loading up on the Lakers. And I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that and see what you felt about that. And I really appreciate your candor and you're a great radio host, and I really appreciate your show.
Thank you, Dan. I think you're right. Look, it was certainly the case with Kyrie Irving, right? Certainly the case with Kyrie Irving. I've read some stuff recently about that relationship and how Kyrie apparently didn't even want LeBron to come back to Cleveland in the first place. And then when he was there, didn't like the fact that so many questions were LeBron themed rather than Kyrie themed. And you know, look, Kyrie got to take more shots than LeBron when he was with the Cavs. He took more shots. He had the freedom to take a pull-up three-pointer in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And he was in a situation where he never got blamed. It was never Kyrie's fault, right? He did get credit. He was going to be the cover boy of NBA 2K even before the Boston move, and he still wasn't happy. So there are guys who aren't going to want to be, you know, the co-star to LeBron. Like, LeBron is such an overwhelming... There's been stars before, but he's such an overwhelming star and central talking point that every other player, no matter who it is going to be secondary.
Or getting chewed out by LeBron.
That comes with it, too. But, you know, like, look, LeBron, look, there are certain guys you have to adapt if you played a certain role, right? If you're Chris Bosh or Kevin Love, those guys had to adapt, and they did. And you have to get good at spot-up shooting and all that. But he successfully played next to Kyrie Irving, who needs the basketball. And there have been a lot of teammates who have raved about what LeBron brings to the table. I mean, did you see Jetty Osman's post when LeBron left? You know, so the idea that he just alienates teammates seems silly. Here was what Jetty Osman said. Some people bring out the best in you, the worst in you. Others bring out the best. And there are remarkably rare ones who just bring out the most of everything even you don't know that you have. They build you up. They make you feel alive. They make you feel strong. They make you feel indisputable. From the first moment we met, you've always been that rare one for me, King. I don't believe in coincidences. I choose to believe my path crossed with you for a reason, and that reason will blah, 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 blah. You're awesome, is basically what he said. So, like, dude's been to 8 straight finals. Teammates must do okay around him. The environment must be okay. 855-212-4227. Tony in South Carolina. Tony, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Robin?
What's up, Tony?
Well, you know, you keep talking about how great the Warriors are.
Yeah.
And I need to remind you, Houston had them beat had not Chris Paul went down this year.
I mostly agree with that. Look, I think if Chris Paul didn't go down, they probably win that series. Now, for context on that, I don't know if Houston can bottle that. You know, Chris Paul's getting up there. They just lost Ariza, and Iguodala was out for that series, which is a sneaky blow to Golden State, but it's a fair point to bring up, sure.
Yeah, and then so I just wanted everybody out there to realize that, you know, Houston was playing really well. I kind of think they were kind of in Golden State's head at that point. They were, up 3-2. I mean, what was it? Yeah, 3-2 going back to Golden State.
Yep.
They had those last two games, so I just didn't see Houston losing two games, especially that last game 7 on their home floor.
Well, you know, what did they miss? 27 straight threes in that game. If Chris Paul was healthy, I mean, the second he grabbed for his hamstring, I knew that series was over. You know, I actually,
right, exactly.
Yeah, I trust Chris.
But, I mean, I just feel like you know, everyone's not giving Houston any credit. I mean, they were right there.
No, it's fair. What I would say to that, Tony, is it does kind of feel like maybe one of those lightning in a bottle seasons where Houston got to the highest level that they possibly could. Chris Paul's getting up there, you know, that roster is going to be hard to keep together, but Houston's definitely in the mix. I mean, there are good teams, like, right? Here are the teams that are genuinely going to be very good. No way around it, I don't think. Boston, if they're healthy. Philly has upside potential. I don't think they're there yet, but it's kind of Boston in the East with Philly as a wild card in the East. And Indiana made a few moves to bolster their roster, so they'll be in that mix along with they'll be like on that level with Toronto, I think. And then in the West, you have the juggernauts at the top with Golden State and then Houston. I think L.A. throws itself into that mix because they have LeBron. And Oklahoma City is going to be pretty good. You know, there were a lot of factors that went into Oklahoma City not performing that well this year. I think healthy, they're going to be pretty good. Golden State's still a cut above everyone else, as we knew. And when you look at that Houston series, if the Warriors had lost that, it would have been an epic failure. An epic failure. Because that's where the Warriors are at. It's championship or nothing. So your point is fair because that shows you it's possible. They went to a game 7 this year. So could they be poached? Perhaps. But a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. And that's where the frustration comes in. And I really think that was the result of the Boogie Cousins signing, wasn't the actual just addition of Boogie Cousins as much of the frustration of the whole situation boiling over. At the same time, we all get obsessed on whether a team can beat them or not, and if a team can be put together. And I don't think that was the sole reason LeBron James did what he did this offseason to simply beat Golden State, because I don't think that scenario existed, but it was definitely part of his mind state. It was definitely one of the boxes. I keep referencing how LA checked the most boxes for him. It was definitely one of the boxes that needed to be checked. And if you look at the Lakers situation, you have young players who could get better. You have vets who they brought in to have them ready now. And then they have the potential to make a trade or the potential to sign somebody next year.
They need someone that could shoot the three. I have to double check, but I believe I saw they don't have a single person on that roster that shot 40% from three last year.
Well, they definitely need to add shooting. They do have some shooting in the sense of they have a lot of guys who shot well on catch and shoot specifically. That would be Ingram in a small sample size. That would be Kuzma. That would be Hart. And I'm missing one other guy that shot really well on KCP. KCP can shoot from the outside. So they have some. They need to add it. Pope overall shot 38% from three last year on almost six attempts a game. So he can shoot. KCP can shoot, and I think he'll be starting at the two spot for them. Josh Hart, who is a guy I think has some potential as a 3-and-D guy, he shot, if you round up, 40% from three. He shot .396 from three. So there's another basically 40% shooter. Kyle Kuzma, as a rookie, shot, let's look at his, 37% from three. And Brandon Ingram, what did he shoot from three? He shot 39% from three. So I think the shooting thing is a little overstated, because I think people are only talking about who came in rather than who was already there. And I think they could stand to add a shooter. I don't know what they do with the rest of their cap space. I'm not a huge Brook Lopez guy, but I'm not against signing him with the rest of that space, because in the event Boogie Cousins works out for Golden State, that's somebody who can match up with him one-on-one physically and can shoot at the center position. You know, Mo Wagner, who they drafted, theoretically can shoot at the center position. You know, you add one more shooter. I don't think their shooting needs are as grave as people are making it out to be, because the way people are talking, it's as if, you know, Rondo and Lance Stephenson are playing 40 minutes a game, which ideally would not be the case. And ideally, Lonzo Ball takes a step up on his three-point shooting. He shot the three pretty well in college, as unorthodox as his shot looks. So with an offseason, I think, you know, there's a lot of variables, but there's a lot of potential with that Lakers team. Now, when you're dealing with LeBron, it's not exactly like you have forever. It might feel like you have forever, but it's going to happen at some point. He keeps defying the odds by playing at the level he's playing at last year even. And I remember thinking in 2015 when they played the Warriors in that series, when it was him and Delly and that crew, and he was doing everything. You're like, man, this has to just like wear on you. We're going to see the end of him soon. And then, nope, they win the title the next year. Then they go back to the finals, and then he has the season he had last year, arguably his best offensive season, arguably his best playoff performance just a year ago. But it will happen at some point, and the clock is ticking, as inhuman as the guy seems. So you're probably looking at about, well, I mean, his contract's probably about your window, right? For 4 years, you can expect, I think saying 3 years at a peak LeBron level is a reasonable expectation. And he's going to have to fall off.
Lakers were 29th last year in three-point shooting.
No, they're not. I'm not saying they're a great three-point shooting team. I'm saying those guys shot the ball a little bit better than I think people, those particular guys. And then you also have to remember, when you add LeBron to the mix, the kind of shots they're going to start getting. You know, it's a question of whether they can knock down those catch-and-shoot shots. And they're clearly trying to play LeBron off the ball a little bit more, rather than, you know, he was the only guy that created anything for Cleveland last year. And they clearly are going to rely on other guys playmaking a little bit more. They don't have a perfect roster by any means. And the other thing is defense. I think, where were the Lakers in defense last year? They were top half of the league. And I think LeBron can now go into a situation where he can call out things defensively and sort of be the free safety, not having to be the defensive guy. And I think, you know, they have real defensive potential with the length that's on that team. And I trust Luke Walton. I trust Luke Walton as the coach. So, again, you're talking just like Boogie Cousins was an ancillary move for the Warriors. I mean, the money backs it up, right? $5 million deal. That's nothing. That's what Mario Hezonja got from the Knicks, right? The same thing goes for Stevenson, McGee, and Rondo for the Lakers. Those were the on-the-edge moves. And people, because they're fresh, are acting like they were the building block moves. The building block guys were already in L.A. And then you put LeBron there. Those other ones were the fringe moves.
21st overall defense for the Lakers.
No, they were 12th in defensive efficiency. You can't look at points per game because you have to adjust for possessions. Points per 100 possessions, the Lakers were in the top half of the league. So they were a top half defensive team. You know, and three-point percentage, they could really stand at a shooter. That's obvious. But, look at the – if we're, again, projecting forward, I know people like drama surrounding LeBron, so there's a chance for it to be disaster. I'll admit that. There's definitely a chance for it to be disaster. He could fall off the cliff next year, and this whole thing is embarrassing, and just the part of his career we choose to forget when we're looking back. But you also could live in the now and look at the Lakers team and look at the Cavs team. Which team is better? The Lakers are better than the Cavs were. That Cavs team, it will never cease to be an amazing accomplishment that team played in the NBA Finals. I don't care what conference they were in. I don't care who they were playing against. Who were the third and the second best player on that team is Kevin Love, who has no trade value. And then beyond that, who was the third best player on that team? Who was the fourth best player on that team? You can't even say it. There's nobody, they're all not, it's not applicable. Get back to NBA free agency in a bit, all the NBA news. But I want to talk about something in the NFL coming up next. Something that needs to be addressed. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.